Hi, and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Today I want to kind of open up two different scriptures for you. The first is found in Matthew 22, verse 20, where Jesus basically asks the question, whose image and subscription is on this coin? And in the other scripture that we're going to look at, we're looking at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, where God says, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Now, when we're looking at these particular scriptures and looking at them as to how they represent an instruction on how to pray, we need to understand how prayer conforms to the image or the destiny of every human person to be the image and likeness of God. The question that Jesus used to foil his enemies was one that settled the image, the result of the image on the coin as to whether or not we should pay taxes. The question and principle involved here do have a certain universal application about what our destiny is. Because we bear God's image, we belong to God. Prayer to God is what we are created for. So prayer, in part, is a wonderful likeness with which we bear the divine image, and it is a deep ministry of the fellowship and love of the Heavenly Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that they have in the Blessed Trinity. And prayer is the earthly image and likeness of this union, where we're praying and receiving answers to prayer. As we'll remember in yesterday's discussion, we looked at how love of the Father and the Son gets the answer to prayer, and when we really hook up with this and become branches on a vine, we get into and experience this deeper relationship. So the more we meditate upon what prayer is, the more wonderful we see that it is the power of God that's based in love, and we begin to start really understanding the question that was raised in Psalms by King David basically asked who or what a human person is, that that God's counsels have allotted him a place to really have mindfulness, if you will, of God, because the scripture basically asks, what is man that you are mindful of him? And that's pretty much what prayer kind of brings into reality. It also reminds us that sin has so degraded each one of us from what we should be that there is no comparison in our natural lives today as to what we could be without turning back to God. In fact, it is when we repent and become Christians and really turn back to God that we really find the true purpose for which we were created for, and really understand the full capacity with which God has endowed each one of us to fulfill our ultimate purpose in life. In fact, our destiny appears to be one in which we're supposed to fill, to subdue, and have dominion over the earth and all that is in it. And all three of these expressions show us what each one of us are supposed to be as God's representatives here ruling and governing the earth. As God's viceroys or representatives, ambassadors, we are here to take the place of God over creation. It's our duty to make sure that creation doesn't get destroyed because we're not environmentally friendly or looking for that. So there's a certain environmentalism about it. And in fact, all of the areas of social justice that the Catholic Church puts forth in its understanding of income and how employer relationships are supposed to be, whether or not we maintain the sanctity of life and have proper relations one with another, is kind of based on this principle of proper filling, subduing, and having dominion over the earth as the Genesis model discusses. In fact, we are supposed to be subject to God, and as a result, we keep everything else in subject to God through our submission to Him. That's how we are stewards and caretakers of what is God's. And it is through us that the will of God and all that He desires to have is done on the earth. In fact, when we pray, "Your kingdom come on earth, your will be done as it is in heaven," we're really praying for each one of us to be that kingdom of God in our midst. And the history of God is, the history of our planet and the history of us, is the history of God's kingdom coming to fruition through each one of us. And it's in accordance with this destiny and the position that we are called to occupy that prayer has ultimate power at its disposal. It's when, as earthly rulers, we represent and truly represent God, that we truly rule in the sense that He is calling us to. In fact, if we think about how our representatives in Congress here in the United States are supposed to represent us as people, it is a reminder of how we are supposed to represent God. The things that we put forth for legislation are supposed to be things that really would be God's way of ruling, filling, and subduing the earth for His good pleasure. All that we are to seek in prayer is to be the will of God and the rulership of God in our life. It's on His advice and at His request that heaven bestows upon earth all the blessings that we call upon in prayer. In fact, our prayer is to be one of those wonderful, simple, most natural channels through which the closer relationship between the King of Heaven becomes a relationship that we have. It's not we have a religion that's empty and doesn't go anywhere. We have a fellowship with God, our Father, in which we truly bring down the blessings of heaven upon earth. And it's in this understanding of our ultimate destiny that the world has been given to us and that we are the ones who perform that destiny and seek out what is desired of God in our prayers. And that's where we really get into really understanding how the prayer of faith is a prayer for the will of God, not necessarily my will. It's the reason why God puts such an abundant answer to prayer that we can pray for anything and believe that we receive it because the prayer that we are seeking is the will of God. Now, in the sense that we don't know what the will of God is, that's where the prayer of commitment comes in, that we pray that God will do what He wants to do in the world, not us, because as Jesus showed us in the Garden of Gethsemane, He prayed, "Not what I will, but your will be done." What was Jesus' prayer of faith in Gethsemane? It was for the will of the Father, not His own will, but the will of the Father. He prayed that He would be subject to that will. Sometimes when we pray for things, we have to pray that the things that we are looking and seeking for are to be answered, but we ask in some sense that if God desires something better than those things, that He's able to do that as well, that He's able to give us what is truly needful for our spirits and souls. This is where we really need to understand that in a sense, every prayer is a prayer of faith, that we receive the same answer to our prayers that in our prayer of commitment that we would in a prayer of faith, because what we're praying for is the will of God. And when there are times when we don't know the will of God, praying for His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven and not our own will is the key that is what we are believing we receive. And that's what a lot of people kind of miss when they do the, sometimes God says yes, sometimes God says no, and sometimes who cares or whatever the other answer is. It's more of not realizing how real the prayer of faith really is, and that in a sense, every prayer that we pray, even the prayer of commitment to God, is a prayer of faith. And it's how we truly get into really understanding our place with God. And it also helps us understand that because of our ability to pray and receive answer, that we really understand how terrible our sinfulness really is, because it deprives the universe and God's people that we live among the true revelation of God and the true image of God from our lives. Because it's through our fall that all creation is brought under the curse. With redemption becomes the beginning of the glorious restoration. So no sooner had God begun in Abraham to form in himself a people from whom kings, even the great king Jesus Christ, should come forth, that we see the power of prayer being brought about in the life of Abraham, our father in faith, Romans 4 describes. Because it's in Abraham that we see how prayer, not only or even chiefly, is a means of obtaining blessing for ourselves, but rather it is the exercise of our royal prerogative to influence the destinies of others and to have the will of God over each one of us be seen. Because in Abraham, we see that Abraham did not pray for himself when he offered his prayer for Sodom and actually received answer to prayer, as it's seen in the story of Lot that follows in the turning of his wife into salt, or even for the prayer that he offers for Abimelech or Ishmael, or any other prayer that Abraham is recorded in Scripture is given, to show us what the power of each one of us as God's friends has over the history and the impact that we have in the world around us. This is our first destiny, because Scripture not only tells us but also teaches us that God would entrust to us this high calling in prayer. It is because he has created us in his own image and likeness that we have the external rule of the planet committed to us, and that without us, that God's not going to act in his world. That's why we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we have to live that way. We live out the kingdom of God. We live out the will of God, not our will, God's will. So we don't try to excuse things that are considered to be sinful, even though we may have an appetite for them, whether it be a gluttonous appetite or an appetite for a certain sexual expression or identity or whatever. We don't follow ourselves as brute beasts. We follow the will of God, because that's what we're bringing about in the world, especially through our prayers. Because we want to bear the image of God in having dominion, being Lord over the earth, and realizing the root of that inner likeness is the image of God that we carry in ourselves, and it must be an inner agreement and harmony that exists between us and God that is shown in our God-likeness and in our righteousness and how we act as individuals that represent God. Because this is really where the power of prayer truly comes in, where we truly can pray and receive and ask and receive, seek and we will find, knock and have the doors open to us, because it's showing us how we are truly fitted to become and truly enabled to become mediators between God and his world. Since God's Son, Jesus Christ, was to be a prophet, a priest, and a king, each one of us are called to interpret God's will, to represent nature's needs, and to receive and dispense God's bounty upon all creation through prayer. In bearing God's image, each one of us bear God's rulership in the world and are representatives of his kingdom and his will among others. So indeed, for us to be like God, to truly be Christ-like Christians, that's what Christian means, Christ-like, we must seek God's will and trust him to truly be the guiding force for what we are to ask and obtain for the world around us and especially for ourselves. Although sin has for a time frustrated God's plans, prayer still remains what it would have been if each one of us had not fallen into sin, because it's proof of each one of our like godness. It's the link between the infinite unseen one and the power that holds the hand of God and others together and really brings about the true ultimate destiny of the universe as a habitation for godliness. Prayer is not merely a cry of supplication for mercy. It is the highest expression of the will of God that is entrusted to each one of us. People who are to know that we have a divine origin, that we are created for and capable of being executors of the counsels of God as ambassadors representing Him in the world. Because what sin has destroyed, grace in Christ has ultimately restored. What the first Adam has lost in sin, the second Adam is won back by his cross. So it's in Christ that each one of us regains our original position with having an image and likeness of God within us, and the church abiding in Christ inherits the promise of asking what we will and receiving what we desire, because what we're desiring is not something sinful, but we're representing God to the world, and that is the key to how we get these answers to prayer, how we are heard of God, because we do those things that are always pleasing to Him, as the scripture in 1 John talks to us about. And it's by no means that this promise refers to grace and blessing only for ourselves. It refers to our position as fruit-bearing branches of a heavenly vine who, like Christ, lives only to work for and present the glory of our eternal Father in heaven. It is for those who abide in Christ, who have forsaken everything about ourselves to abide in Him and His life of obedience, that is given up to self-sacrifice, willing to suffer for others, because Christ suffered on a cross. Not all suffering is pointless. There's a suffering that we can do where we're basically using our suffering as a way to intercede with God for the blessings of others around us, and we're not selfish in that sense, because we lose our life and find our lives in Him. We give up everything that would identify us separate from God and really unite ourselves to Him, so that we can truly show that we are given up to His interest in His kingdoms and not our own will and our own desires. Because when we really understand how we are new creatures and newly created in Him, that we are brought back to the original destiny that we were called to and restored to the proper image and likeness of God, and truly gain the power to have dominion over the world through our prayers. And such is indeed is the power which each one of us are called to have among all those that we know, all those within our circle of influence, whether it be family, friends, and others, to obtain and dispense the powers of heaven here on earth. And with holy boldness, we can make known what it is we desire for them, because we live as priests in God's presence. As kings, the power of the world to come is at our disposal through prayer, and we enter into the fulfillment of the promise that we can ask what we desire and know that it will be given to us, as we are told in the scripture of Mark 11, 22 through 24. In fact, God is seeking such priests among the people of humanity, because the human priesthood is one of the essential parts of God's plan. To rule creation by man was God's original design, as indicated by Genesis 1, 26. We are to carry on in worship through creation the true rulership of God, the kingdom of God in our midst. Our priesthood is the appointed link between heaven and earth, the channel of intercourse between God and the rest of the world and the rest of creation. And in such a priesthood, we really place into the hands of God's Son what is the proper destiny of everything in His care, and truly bring into subjection all His enemies, as the one Psalm said. Because God is seeking kings, not of the ranks of angels, but of the fallen human nature that we all share, that we are to be that rulers of God's universe, because our hands are the ones that God has entrusted the scepter of His rulership on earth, and it's us who must wear the crown, more or less, in his kingdom. So it's really for understanding this that we, the Church of the Living God, find our higher and holier calling to truly be kings and priests unto God, to realize that God rules the world through our prayers and bestows upon us through our prayers the true blessings of heaven. As his elect, it should not be something to where we are content to only have blessing for ourselves or to have ourselves really experience the fullness of his kingdom on earth. But instead, we yield ourselves entirely so that through us, just as through the Son, our Heavenly Father can fulfill all of his glorious counsel on those who live around us and among us. Because it's in us who are truly his people that we truly cry day and night unto him to show how God can truly bring about his glory in the world, and really shows our most wonderful and original destiny as kings and priests of his true creation, and be his image and likeness in the world. So as image bearers of God on earth, the earth is indeed given into each one of our hands. And when we fell, all fell with him, or with us, because the entire creation was doomed by our rejection of our place with God. So as we rediscover God's original purpose and his eternal desire for us to be part of his plan of salvation, a part of his rulership and kingdom, we really understand how our prayer is the very thing that really everything about God's kingdom depends upon. That we really understand that through our great high king and priest, that our prayers can truly bring down everything that God wills to happen in our lives and in the lives of others. So as image bearers and representatives of God on earth, each one of us show how we determine the history of planet Earth and really get into what we were created to be and now have as the redeemed of God, and can truly pray and through our prayers bring about the dominion of God's kingdom on earth, because we are called to rule and reign in this life. And with this in mind, we pray, O Lord, what is man that you are mindful of us? What is the Son of Man that you would visit us? You, who have made us a little lower than the angels, have crowned us with glory and honor. You have given unto each one of us the dominion over the work of your hands. You have put all things under our feet, O Lord our God. How excellent is your name in all the earth. Lord God, how low has sin made each one of us to sink? How terrible is it that it darkened our minds, that we do not even know our own divine destiny and know how to truly be your servant and representative to the world in which we live. How sad is it that even as we, your people, begin to have our eyes open, are we slow to accept our true calling and seek to have power with God only in order to have power with others and have our own blessing instead of your blessing on them. O Lord Jesus, in you our Heavenly Father has again crowned us with glory and honor and opened for us the way to be what we would have been had we have not fallen into sin. So Lord God, have mercy upon your people and visit your very heritage. Work mightily in your church and teach your believing disciples to go forth as royal priests and really experience the true power of prayer, to which you have given such wonderful promises of asking and receiving, seeking and finding, knocking and having things opened unto us. Teach us to truly serve your kingdom and to have rule over the nations and make the name of God glorious on earth. For we pray this as representatives of you, and in your name we claim this. Amen. And truly, if you will truly and fully and entirely experience this in your life, you will know your true calling and be blessed of God.